there's like a small chance I might fall asleep during this, just like a no shout.
We usually do when you go on a rant.
Hey, I'm still awake now.
Westwood.
This is Adam Virgo.
This is John Curtis.
Hi, this is Stan
Collymore. And you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me this week I've got Shane Lees.
Build a wall.
Anthony Kendrick.
Hello, I'm not saying anything to do with the election.
And Richard Hale Hudson.
Grab him by the pussy.
Oh dear.
Oh, we should, before the intro, we should have America! Fuck yeah!
That's basically what we've just done.
So you're all good?
Yeah, I'm great. I watched the election last night and I cannot wait to watch America fail at what the Chinese succeeded at 1,000 years ago in building the Great Wall of Texas.
I don't understand how he's going to be domestic the paper.
Immigration to Canada website has crashed.
On the plus side, I actually managed to predict this. I might have predicted that Ukraine would reach the finals of the Euros, but I did predict this and Brexit, so I've got that going for me.
I want to see what the odds are now on Katie Hopkins becoming the next Prime Minister.
They've probably gone off a bit.
What about Kanye West being the next president?
Might as well at this point. If anyone's seen the film Idiocracy, I feel like we're slowly going that way.
Well, I think we're in a real-life prequel to The Hunger Games.
At least it'll be interesting.
Do you think this will affect football in America, though?
I think no one cares about football in America, I think
it's good for wrestling fans. He's a huge wrestling fan, isn't he?
Yeah. I think it's all a big WrestleMania set-up.
I'd love that.
WrestleMania 34, Vince's revenge against the president. Shaves the president's head.
Donald Trump walks out alongside Theresa May, and Donald Trump just goes, "You can have a Brexit if you win." Royal Rumble.
I tickled myself. Sticking with the American, a story that's caught my eye this week. The Harvard University men's team has been suspended for making sexist comments towards the female team. Apparently they're ranking their attractiveness and saying which position they think that the women would prefer.
That's fitting. It backs up Trump's point. It's all just locker room talk, isn't it?
Yeah. they're currently top of the Ivy League and they had to forfeit the rest of the season, basically.
That's a shame. Was it the whole team's been suspended?
The men's soccer side.
Bloody hell, that's annoying.
That's Harvard as well. That's
apparently they rated their attractiveness between 1 and 10, and given reasons for the decisions, and then discussed what sexual positions they think the women preferred.
Well, I do that in my head, just not in quite a categorical way to you know most women I see. So. Maybe I should be banned from the V2 Football Podcast. Actually, that's probably a very good idea from some of the things I say.
So we'd all be suspended for the rest of the season, though.
Oh, you'd just be left.
Oh, I'd be alright. I'm politically correct. There was a story in, I think it was in Ukraine recently, of there were two footballers who were taking the piss out of a female linesman, and they were made to go and train with the women's team for a week.
Was it Czech Republic?
Which is
the
worst?
Czech Republic,
or something?
What? The Czech Republic is no longer known as the Czech Republic.
Oh, isn't it?
No, it's Czechia now, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it changed the name about 6 months ago, and nobody in the Czech Republic cares.
It's also a very poor decision, because if you throw an N in there, it's suddenly a breakaway Russian region.
So, Chechnya?
Yep.
Is there already a country called Chechnya?
Yes, there is. It's not a very nice one.
Does this affect the quiz later in the show?
No.
Welcome to the V2 football / politics show.
Right, a school in Newcastle has sent a text to parents to coincide with the launch of Football Manager 2017. It said, "Dear parents or carer, we are aware of a new game being launched at midnight today. This will affect a minority of students. However, we expect all students to attend schools tomorrow as normal. Any absence tomorrow will be deemed as unauthorised unless supported by medical evidence."
Right, manager was one that kids bunked off for.
I was really tempted to bunk off work to play it, so
I don't know. It's a primary school, though.
It's sort of like a college sort of years, but I wouldn't say kids at secondary school football manager. That's more FIFA and Call of Duty, isn't it?
I think it's a primary school as well, so that's why I thought it was quite confusing. I can't see 10, 11-year-olds being too excited about Football Manager.
I was a 10 or 11, but if you haven't gathered it yet, I was a weird child.
I'm not excited about it.
Sorry?
I don't know. I'm not excited about Football Manager now. I did like Championship Manager as a kid, though.
I've already started an IBAR career.
I liked LMA Manager. Yeah, I need to bring it back.
Edge Daglish Player Manager back in the day.
Alright, so Anthony, you had a story you want to bring up?
Just something Ronald Koeman said today in a press conference, which I thought was quite... raised a few eyebrows. He was saying that about Romelu Lukaku, that he's going to need to leave Everton to fulfil his potential, and sort of name dropped him with Barcelona, which I thought was a strange thing to say about his own player.
It's not that strange, I don't think, considering he probably knows he'll sell him anyway. So if he's sort of touting him to be for that kind of club, you can almost bump up the price a little bit by saying this is the kind of club he's been linked with. I mean, it is, he's linked with
him.
He's done it, but I mean, I think it's one of those things. It's a bit like when David Moyes says we're going to be in a relegation fight. I don't get why managers aren't allowed to be realists. Lukaku is bigger than Everton. He's a bigger player than that club. And they probably will sell him anyway, in the same way that Sunderland will probably end up in a relegation fight.
Your club don't want to hear that your manager thinks you're at a shit level.
I would rather have a manager who was realistic than one who was mental. I'd rather have Koeman than Martinez. Put it that way.
And finally, Gary Lineker's made another outrageous Match of the Day bet. He said, if Leicester retain the title, I'll do the first Match of the Day next season naked, standing on my head with Shearer and Wrighty beating me with a stick.
Has he been watching like Vietnam films or something?
Can we get odds of 5,000 to 1 again, or is it like at this stage of the season? So no, it wasn't at the start. But...
No, if
Trump can win the presidency, Leicester can do it.
Because he didn't do it properly this year. He said he'll do it in his underpants and he did it in shorts down to his knees. So. Right, so Shane.
Hi.
Everybody knows you're a world class goalkeeper.
Uh-huh.
So your world class opinion, who has currently has the scariest attack, Chelsea or Liverpool?
Okay, if I was in goal against one of these sides, I would expect to be paid a lot more money than I am, for one. But I would probably be more afraid of Chelsea. Mainly because if you're a defence or a goalkeeper, and you see the likes of Sturridge and Firmino and all that, well, you're going to go, alright, yeah, they're pretty damn good, and there's a good chance they're going to cut through us like cake and score some nice goals. Yeah. But on the other hand, we can probably beat the shit out of them if we really want to. You look at Chelsea's attack, and you do not think that for 1 second. You know they'll give you as good as you're going to get. And then they've also got, on top of that, the players who will kill each other, like Diego Costa. They've got top quality players like Eden Hazard, who is probably, in terms of attacking players, at least top five in the world. I don't think any of the Liverpool strikers are at that level, or Liverpool attackers. So I would personally say Chelsea's attack is a little bit better.
I think it depends on that sort of point of view on what type of defender you are. You know, if you're like a Martin Keown, you're going to be preferring to playing against Costa than you are against Firmino.
I think that's in the strictest sense of almost that competitive spirit that like a centre back's got. He wants to go up against another striker who he's going to get into a proper fight with. But at the same time, if you're going up against a striker who will probably win that fight, like Costa will, it's not so good. You know you're going to win the fight with Sturridge. You touch him and he breaks into 1,000 shards of glass.
Sturridge isn't in Liverpool's best attack though for me. I think Firmino, Mane and Coutinho, I think they're better with them drifting around. But on the question, the original question, I think Liverpool have the better attack. because they play better as a team, but Chelsea have better individuals in Costa and Hazard. But overall, I'd least like to be against the Liverpool attack.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a fair point.
I would say, as a team as a whole, Chelsea's defence is a lot better than Liverpool's defence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Liverpool beat Chelsea when they did meet earlier in the season. Although that's not a very fair comment because it was before Chelsea hit their form and, you know, they've got the playing style they've got now.
Yeah, I think for me it just depends upon what sort of defence that you're putting up against it. If you have Daily Blint up against Liverpool's defence, then he's got a bit more chance. He's got can try and match him a bit more on speed and stuff. But if you've got Daily Blint up against Diego Costa, Diego Costa's going to eat him for breakfast. But then, you have a Martin Keown, and I think Martin Keown would batter the shit out of Costa.
I'd like to see that.
Oh, I would. I'd like to see anybody batter the shit out of Diego Costa.
Costa versus John Terry would be a good battle if they didn't play for the same club. Like, Terry back in his, prime.
I'd watch that at SummerSlam.
Right, so it's time for the performance of the week. So, Anthony, who was nominated this week?
Okay, so as ever, there was four nominees. Hector Bellerin for his performance against Spurs. Moussa Dembele for Spurs in the derby match against Arsenal, the 1-1 draw. Paul Pogba for that goal against Swansea. And Robert Snodgrass against Southampton. So what do you guys think? Who do you think deserved to win?
Snodgrass. I watched the Southampton game and if it wasn't for him, I think you have to always think, what's it going to mean at the end of the season? If it wasn't for Snodgrass and the performance he had against Saints, they'd have lost that match easily at a canter. But they got 3 points, and at the end of the season, that could be massive, those 3 points. So I think Snodgrass.
I picked Pogba, not just for the goal, which was a very good goal, but I think his pass completion and overall game was top draw. It's just a shame he keeps on... He's doing these performances against the lesser clubs, and he seems to be going a bit sort of missing in the bigger games.
Mm-hmm. Like this, what about you, Chris?
Well, I think it's pick this, did we?
Who would you have picked of those four, or who else would you have picked?
I thought Harry Kane had a good game. I thought I might have gone for Costa because I liked Costa. Pogba's goal. I thought that was very good.
Okay. My personal pick was Hector Bellerin. For me, it was man of the match, and that was the Spurs-Arsenal game for me was the best game, so that was why I went for Bellerin. Nick obviously picked Dembele because he thought he was man of the match. The viewers, though, they picked Paul Pogba, 37% of the vote for his performance against Swansea.
Who was second?
Dembele was 28%, Snodgrass got 25%, and Bellerin got 10%. So, yeah.
I tell you what, though, with our listeners, and this is no offence, listeners, I think we could have put Pogba in any single vote and he'd have won it, no matter the question.
I think the four... personally, I think Pogba was the least deserving of the four. I think I probably would have picked Snodgrass after Bellerin. I think I agree with you. It was a crucial 3 points for Hull, and he was clearly one.
I also think...
Stats, though, from that game.
Yeah, no, he was very good, but it's one midfielder against Swansea, and it's probably not going to have too much difference at the end of the season, but Snodgrass was a performance against a better side. We are better than Hull, even though we lost to them, and it's something that could potentially save them at the end of the season, those kind of points. So I think it's, when you look at the sort of consequence who they're up against, it's a bit different if you're Snodgrass going up against Romelu, who's been on top form, and if you're Pogba going up against, Leon Britton? You should be smashing the shit out of him.
Hey, I'm taking any performance by United at the moment.
Yeah, kind of stopped our slump. So,
I mean, yeah, fair enough. It was a really good goal. He did have a very good game. I can't really argue too much against it. I just think there were maybe more deserving players on the week.
I agree with you, Shane.
Well, public don't.
The public voted for Trump, man.
Hopefully not our listeners.
We voted for Romeo.
Huh?
The public also voted for Romeo twice, I believe. So
I reckon it was a slightly different public.
All right, so it's an international week. So, the games under Southgate have been pretty dire so far. So what do you think we can do to make the performance against Scotland not so dire?
Have Rooney hung from the giant, whatever. What do we even call that thing at Wembley? The arch. Have Rooney hung from that and you'll get really good turnout. Not because he deserves it or anything. You'll just get a good turnout if you advertise it before the match. You're going to lynch mob Rooney.
People pay attention. England fans still seem to like Rooney, though. The ones that go to the matches, in the tabloid papers, everybody hates him. But you go along to you hear the crowd at an England game, and they're cheering for him to come on and stuff.
Yeah, but I'll put it this way. I went to the England-Switzerland game when Rooney scored the goal. That was the landmark goal, the record goal. And yes, it was great. Everyone was going, Rooney, Rooney, Rooney. The second the penalty were given, everyone was saying, Rooney, Rooney, Rooney. But people kind of support Rooney when they're at England games because they feel like they're meant to, because he's the captain and he's, one of our longest-serving players and all of that lot. I think, especially when you have high-pressure games or games where they count, they're a little bit less supportive of him because suddenly there's actually something at stake. It's a bit of an odd point, but I think, I'll put it this way, if you drop Rooney now, kick him out of the team and never let him back in, I don't think anyone would kick up too much of a fuss in terms of going, oh, he really should be in there.
The thing is,
will he be remembered?
Well, Rooney? Yeah. He'll be remembered in the same way that Lampard's remembered, Gerrard's remembered. Very good player, one of the better players of his generation. Didn't do a lot in an England shirt.
But he's got the record for goals for England, so he's clearly done a fair amount.
Okay, I'll put it this way. If Gary Lineker was playing in this, our generation's football, if he'd been playing all the games Rooney had played, I think he would have that record by quite a significant distance. Any striker worth his stuff in this England squad, going up against the teams we've been going up against, could have really got that record, playing as consistently, as often as Rooney was playing. No other striker got that.
More competitive games than both Lineker and Charlton.
But it's a different era. It's a different generation. It's against different kinds of opponents.
Back then, we had a lot more easy games. You'd be turning over other nations 8-9-0 quite frequently.
I personally don't think so. I think we've got Rooney's had quite a lot of easy games to go and get those goals on. Yes, he's got a record, but it's not like it's one of those. It's not like Fernando Torres smashing gold records for Spain at tournaments when it counted. Having that just ridiculous medal tally he's got, that had consequence. Rooney's got, 50 something goals now? It's just of no consequence whatsoever. You can get all those goals if you want. If it achieves absolutely zero shit, it doesn't mean a whole lot. That's how he'll be remembered. He'll be remembered as probably the most undeserving record breaker, I think.
So what did Lineker's goals do?
Absolutely jolly old shit, which is why I don't think he's going to be remembered in any sort of good regard, in the sense that not many England players have been regarded that well in the last, 30 years? A couple of them had sort of cult status. Lineker was very well liked because he was a gentleman of the game. I think that's a big part of his reputation, because he was known as one of the good guys of football. Rooney doesn't have that going for him at all. In fact, you remember young Rooney, shagging grannies and all that, he had a very bad reputation. He's got a reputation as a sulker in modern football. I think he'll be remembered in the same sense as Lampard and Gerrard and all of that lot. He's a very good player. Didn't do a lot. Didn't achieve anything.
I think it was a brave decision, though, going back to Southgate, dropping him in his second game, because he could have quite easily just played him and then dropped him now, saying he's not playing enough at United, he's not worthy of a first-team place. I think he did something very brave there. And I think Rooney still needs to be in the England squad, but shouldn't be starting, because right now Harry Kane and Jamie Vardy and the rest of them are better options.
With Dele Alli out, do you think he will start against Scotland?
So is Jamie Vardy really a better option at the moment?
I'd play him. He gives you a bit more of an option in terms of attacking.
His club form.
Yeah, he's not very... none of the England strikers are in great form at the moment. I mean, maybe Defoe at an absolute stretch, and you really are hammering yourself in the head to get to that one. None of them are in great form. But if you're going into a game against Scotland, you need to think, we need options attackingly. We need to be able to do different things. It's a game against a team who are going to probably sit back defensively and try and counter against us. You need to have different modes of attack rather than just hammering the same kind of attack over and over again. I think that's what Rooney gives you. I think Vardy gives you another option, especially if you play him alongside a striker like Kane. Then you've got two kinds of ways you can attack in the game.
Well, in the current England squad, I mean, you've got Rooney, Kane, Sturridge, Vardy,
Rashford.
Yeah, Rashford.
The only one I'd pick Rooney over is Sturridge. The other three, for me, should start over Rooney.
I agree.
And then you've got the likes of Walcott and Sterling as well, and Lingard and Lallana, the other attacking players. I think there's no way for me Rooney's deserving of a place in that starting lineup.
So Harry,
the one that's probably the most on form at the moment is Walcott.
Yeah, but he's been doing that from a wide position, hasn't he? He's not been playing up front, he's been playing on the right wing, if I'm remembering the Arsenal games I've seen correctly. So I'd say play him right wing. If he's playing well there at the moment, stick to that. That would be a very typical England thing if we just go, right, you're up front again now. Let's give that another shot. That worked out
don't know, Kane with ball cut off and with Steele and Lallana behind him.
Not Lallana. Well, if you had a 4-3-3 where Lallana is the most attacking of the three midfielders, Walcott and Sterling either side of Kane, I think it's probably the best way to go. And then, Henderson and Eric Dyer, presumably, centre-mids.
Did you see Sol Campbell's combined team of Arsenal and Spurs, and he had Eric Dyer as his right winger?
Sol Campbell's the man who said people would go to Ukraine and come back in body bags. I mean, he was quite a few years early on that prediction. Because, you know, you go there now, that might happen, but... Oh, God, he's just a knob, isn't he?
It's worse than Garth Crook's teams.
Oh, Christ, him as well. Like, it's weird. You've got someone like Martin Keogh, and he always says reasonable stuff. No one ever really pays attention to him. Sol Campbell gets all the bloody pieces in the newspapers, and he's just an idiot.
Sol Campbell wanted Brexit.
No, he didn't.
He did. He was part of the Brexit, sort of the one of the few celebrities that came forward for it.
Oh, did he? He's still a moron. I know plenty of morons who voted for Brexit. I know plenty of morons who voted for Remain as well. We're a country of morons. We're a world of morons.
Right, so Ryan Crawcross and Jordan Pickford got called up to the squad. Can you see them playing in either game? Or are they just there for the experience?
I can't see them playing any part, but it's, you know, good to integrate. It's always good to integrate young players into the England setup, I suppose. Pickford's been very good this season and probably will deserve a game at some stage, but you can't look past Joe Hart, can you, despite his shaky form?
Yeah, Pickford's looked very good so far this season. But I think he's probably quite a bit down the list, really, of getting a chance.
That's probably the one position we've got an actual wealth of talent for. Because you've got Joe Hart, who is very good. You've got Forster, who's very good. You've got Butland, who's injured, but very good. You've got Pickford, who's very good. You've even got Ben Foster, he's pretty damn good. Probably the one spot in the England team we go, oh, we actually have genuine choice and depth.
If you look down, got Ruddy as well, and Heaton.
Oh, yeah, and Tom Heaton as well. I forgot about him.
And the Norwich keeper, if you had push, the Ruddy.
No, John Ruddy.
I couldn't think of his first name. That's what I was going to call him Paul Ruddy, but I was like, no, it's not right.
Bloody hell.
So what do you think the thinking behind my midfielder, Drinkwater, got injured, so I'm bringing a left back? And I've already got two left backs.
I'm probably just filling out a squad, aren't they? Probably not really thinking about it at that point. It's like on Football Manager, when one of your international players gets in, you just go, oh, I'll just throw in any old twat. I'm not going to play him, am I?
Right, so, what's your predictions on the game then?
Oh, boring. That's my prediction.
Then I sent it.
It's probably going to be a Paul Gascoigne dentist chair celebration going on, is it?
I think there's 3-2 the last game, 3-1 the game before that, a couple of years ago.
I hope it's a good game. I've got high hopes for it. I hope we try be a bit more attacking and look to get the ball forward quicker, because I think we've sort of mentioned it in passing, but with the pace of our attack, we could be a very good side if we're quick on the counter and, you know, looking to get it forward and quick. Really, I'd like to see us have a real go like that. I'm hopeful of an exciting game. I'm not going to mislead England.
I think it'll be a good game in terms of atmosphere, of the poppy thing, and yeah, it's England and Scotland, so it's always a good game in atmosphere. I just think they're going to sit back and defend, probably. We're going to have to try and break teams down, and we're not very good at that when it's actually a half-decent outfit. 1-0, maybe we win, maybe we lose 1-0. I can't see so much more than that.
It's quite interesting. I wonder if England and Scotland will get any penalty after the match for wearing the poppies, because they've said they're going to do it, wear them irrespective of what they're told.
I've not heard anything about the poppies since last week.
Both the English and the Scottish FA have said they're going to wear them irrespective whatever FIFA says, they're going to wear them and they'll take whatever penalty or punishment they get.
Well, they're going to have they're having a meeting whilst we're doing the podcast last week with a member of the FIFA. They must have told them they'd get a fine rather than a points deduction then if they're going to go ahead with it.
I think we should invite one of the FIFA representatives and just kick balls at them for the entire game.
Right, we don't need to discuss them, but it's kind of a bit of deja vu with the England's women's team. We've also drawn Scotland and Spain in the World Cup Euro 17 group.
There's been quite a few women's news stories, women's football news stories this week, but for Shane's benefit, I won't
No one cares, Anthony. You're welcome, listeners.
Right, so it's time for the first game on the pitch. And Hero is question master this week.
Yep. Now, I do apologise in advance on this. I was planning to do blockbusters.
Yeah.
Which I thought would have been a good quiz. Unfortunately, the company I work for, their website crashed as I was about to start, so I ended up spending an hour dealing with customers that were a bit shitty.
Was it the Canadian Border Agency?
I was going to say the Canadian Border Agency.
Was it the Canadian Border Agency?
No. So I have cobbled something together, but it's not as great. It's basically play your cards right.
Do you need someone to take up scores or...?
I'm going to give you 10 things in a row.
Yeah.
And you've got to say either higher or lower for them. You can cash out at any point and you get that many points. But if you get one wrong, you've got zero.
Okay.
Sick. Oh, I was mostly listening. That'll be great.
Okay, who would like to go first?
Chris.
I'll go first then. Okay.
This work. Alright. Okay, so your category is most expensive Manchester United players.
Okay.
We're going to start with Anthony Martial at 37.5 million.
Okay.
Your next one is Juan Mata.
Lower. So 28.
Correct. 33.7. Juan Sebastian Veron.
Lower.
Correct. 32. Marouane Fellaini.
I'll say lower again.
Yep. Now, what he officially went through at was 24.3.
Mm.
I think there were add-ons after that, but that's what the official one was. Anderson.
Lower.
Correct. 23.6. Mkhitaryan.
Higher.
Correct. 26. Morgan Schneiderlin.
I left the cash out, I can't remember what he went for. I'd say higher.
Which do you want to do?
I'll cash out.
Okay. He was higher at 26.3.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what he went for. So,
so you got Martial, Mata, Veron, then who was it?
Fellaini,
Depay.
Anderson, not Depay.
I think you got 9, did you there?
No, I think I wasn't keeping count.
1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7. Oh no, 8. Okay. Shane, are you going to go next?
Yeah.
Okay, you've got you've got attendances of the FIFA 2012 World Cup games. You haven't really.
What? Fuck off!
You've got Premier League players with 100 or more goals.
Okay.
I will start you off with Matthew Letizier. The next one is Darren Bent.
So is it who's got more goals?
Yeah.
Have you asked the question?
Letizier's got.
I don't know if you asked. Did you ask the question? Sorry, I didn't actually hear anything.
Yeah. More or less goals. Start off with Matt Letizier. More or less than Bent?
Less.
No, Darren Bent got more.
That's what I meant. You said Matt Letizier more or less than Bent.
Alright, okay then. Sorry, I apologise if that... Yeah, I started off with Matt Letizier. Does Darren Bent have more or less?
More.
Yes. Darren Bent has 106. Ryan Giggs?
More than Bent, he's got to.
Yes, 109. Paul Scholes?
Less?
Yes, 107. Emil Heskey?
He played a lot of games, didn't he?
So did Giggs and Scholes.
More.
Correct, 110. Didier Drogba?
Oh, Jesus. Which of the big black strikers do I prefer?
Racist.
I prefer... Well, they are big and they are black. I'm going to say Drogba got less.
Correct. 104 for Drogba. Aguero!
He's got to have got more than
Dion Dublin.
Who did he play for? It was United.
Yeah, he got a lot of goals for Coventry.
Coventry, yeah. Okay. Tell you what, the BBC always pick him to be a pundit, so I'm going to go Moore.
Yes, 111. Dwight York.
Oh, he got a ton. Moore, come on.
Yes, 123. Ooh. What are we up to now? You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
I forgot that I was allowed to like have some other option other than answering the question.
So your last one now.
Alright.
Do you want to take it?
I'm going to take it. I'm a big money baller.
Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank.
Okay, I regret my decision. How many clubs does he play for? He's Chelsea.
Leeds, Middlesbrough.
Yeah. Charlton. I think he played for Charlton as well. Would he have got more than Dwight York though? 50-50. More.
Correct.
Oh!
10 for 10.
That was a total guess.
Dwight York got 123. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank got 127.
Very well done.
I was kind of hoping you'd say Alan Shearer, to be honest. That would be easy.
Yeah, I didn't go near the high ones.
So
that leaves.
So Anthony needs to get 10.
Perfect 10.
Anthony's topic is going to be
World Cup attendances!
Lists of footballer with 100 or more caps.
Oh, God.
Lists not just for England, this is just worldwide.
Oh, dear.
Have fun.
I was tempting to be cruel on you on this one, because I was tempted to do female caps.
You should have done it. We'd have seen how PC you were then.
Because female-wise, there's a couple of players that have got over 300 caps.
Wow.
Wow.
But I am just limiting it to male players.
You've got to remember, there's only about 12 women footballers, so it's quite easy for them.
Yeah. I'm going to start you off with Buffon. Does Casillas have more or less caps than Buffon?
Can you tell me how many Buffon has, please?
Buffon has 165. Oof. As we speak.
Bloody hell. Casillas started very young, but he's younger than Buffon now.
But he's stopped.
Sorry?
But he's also stopped getting the caps.
Yeah, that's what's making me think Buffon may have more. But then, I don't know if Buffon started as young as Casillas did. I'll say Buffon... Hang on. Yeah, Casillas has less caps.
Unfortunately, you've fallen at the first turn.
That is shocking, Luke.
How many does Casillas have?
Casillas has 167.
Two caps.
Who's got the most international caps for men?
Ahmed Hassan.
I was
going to
say,
84.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, him.
Yeah, that's how I thought.
Hassan.
Is somebody from Iraq got a stupid amount as well? Their strike is Iraq or Kuwait.
Can I have some of the rest for fun, or?
He doesn't want just one question.
Then I was going to give you Landon Donovan.
Oh. Less, surely.
Yeah, less.
Lofa Mateus.
God knows. More?
I'd go with less.
No idea.
Zanetti.
Yeah, a lot. How many does Thingy have? The guy before?
Mateus.
Yeah.
150.
Zanetti's got less, haven't
he? Which Zanetti? Javier or the other?
Yeah.
I'd go less.
Yeah. And Thomas Ravelli.
Less.
More.
More. Actually, no, I'm thinking Thomas Ravelli next, because he had the same as Zanetti. He was going Robbie Keane next.
Less?
No, more. 146, Robbie Keane.
The trick is to just answer the opposite to what Anthony answers.
Lilian Thuram?
Less?
Yeah, 142.
Okay.
Sergio Ramos?
Less.
Yeah, 140. And then Mohamed Hussein.
more.
Yeah, and I think that would have been about it.
See, if you'd answered those questions in reverse, you could have given Anthony hope.
That would have been a reasonable score. No, to be fair, you say about answering the opposite to what I do. When you guys were answering yours, Chris in particular, I was thinking a lot of them, I thought the opposite. So, yeah, it didn't matter which set I'd have got.
I couldn't remember how much Nidalee went for. I couldn't remember it was late teens or late 20s, I couldn't think. So,
well played, guys. You two both got respectable scores.
I've got 10 out of 10, that's more than respectable.
Outstanding scores.
Thank you.
If I was a bit more brave, I reckon I could have done it.
I'll give you the female caps next time, then.
Right, so last week we did Unsung Heroes of the Season, so we asked our Twitter followers who made the best choice. So, in last place with 7% was Shane's choice, Glenn Whelan.
You're all wrong, Glenn Whelan's life.
In third place with 14% was Otamendi, Hero's choice.
Not the same fans that voted for the Player of the Week, I think.
I think they are exactly the same fans, United fans.
Second place was Adam Lallana, my choice, 36%. And then the winner was Harry Arter, Anthony's choice, with 43%. But on Saturday, I think he was on 67%. And then all the Lallana fans seemed to come out over the weekend and score. Bumped me up a bit.
Did Lallana have a particularly good game for Liverpool at the weekend? I can't really remember.
I'm not sure. Okay. I think they won 6-1, so he must have played alright, I guess. Right, so we thought part of the discussion we did last week came up with. We discussed what player would you want to make a whole team out of to complete the song We All Dream of a Team of. So we thought, who would you go for?
I remember being asked this question a few years ago. I think me and Rich might have discussed it on the forum, but I remember at the time I said Philipp Lahm. I know he's a little bit over the hill now, but I think he's the kind of player who could play any position and do a good job there. Mm. So I would have said him, but I think Kante is a very good option because of his engine, and you'd have a team which could.
Very workmanlike team.
Run anyone. But then John O'Shea is the obvious ultimate utility player, so what about him as well?
John O'Shea's just a shit Philipp Lahm.
Yeah, but I always liked John O'Shea. I thought he was clearly not the most talented, but I thought he was quite a decent player. Obviously not now, but I thought United, he was always good. He was always someone you could rely on to put in a performance.
Yeah, we just had all the Irish fans loving us. We put two of them as our unsung heroes. Just lost them all now by insulting John O'Shea. Sorry, Irishman.
In Ireland?
Probably.
Could I know? Yeah, Kante's my pick for today if I had to have 11 of one player.
So, I'm guessing the hero's gone for a hipster choice.
I have. I've gone for basically Philipp Lahm Mark II, which is the new Bayern wonder kid, Joshua Kimmich.
I actually had to look him up when you said who it was. I was like, I don't know who that is. I don't follow German football at all.
He started in the season in the team last season, yeah. When Guardiola was still there, and he was due to a number of injuries at centre-back, and he basically shored up the Bayern Munich centre-back role for half a season. Then went to the World Cup, the European Championships, and played as right-back
yeah.
for Germany. And now this season, he's been moved into centre-midfield for Bayern Munich, keeping out the likes of Vidal out of the team for a number of games. You know, you look at that Bayern Munich midfield and the quality of players that they've got there, and he's been absolutely bossing it, and I think has scored something like 6 or 7 goals this season. Oh no, 8 goals in 15 games he scored for Bayern Munich. It's centre mid.
So he's a good defence and attack, which you'll need, I guess.
Yeah, he's just overall, he looks like he could just play anywhere. And he's a very, very intelligent player.
Who do you go for, Shane?
Well, historically, I'm torn between Javier Zanetti and Rio Ferdinand. I think those two are pretty self-explanatory. Ferdinand had the technique to pretty much play anywhere. He's toolsy, you can put him up front, he'll get gold. Play him anywhere along the back four, he would be good defensively. Zanetti is pretty much the same situation apart from not being tall. In the modern day, I'm torn between either Javier Mascherano or Glenn Whelan. Now, Glenn Whelan needs no explanation, and I've already said this technically. But for Mascherano, I think if you had a midfield three of Mascherano followed by a defensive four of Mascherano, you'd probably win every single challenge, every single ball. You'd never stop harrying any other team. I mean, he hasn't scored a lot, so you may get zero goals, but you'll have a lot of very successful nil-nils. And maybe, I don't know, he can nick one from a set piece. I don't know if he's any good at delivering set pieces, but maybe he actually is. Maybe he's amazing. But yeah, Mascherano.
Yeah. I didn't pick a modern one. I went for Julian Dix.
Oh, he was scum.
I said it'll be the scariest looking 11 ever. They'll be solid defensively. You've got a decent shot on him. I think he had like a 1 in 6 scoring rate for a defender. It's not terrible. And I remember in the late 90s, he went in goal against Everton and he got man of the match.
The only problem is, from a commentary position, it will end up really homoerotic. Like, he gives it to Dix. Oh, and Dix passes it across to Dix. Oh, and that's a great one from Dix. That's straight into Dix.
In your head. I mean, you're still fixated about Glenn Whelan.
Yeah, the amount of listeners who are going to play that back, and that's going to be their porn now.
Alright, so I'll put up as a poll again for next week. So, who picked the guy? So finally, who's the one you finally went with? I've gone Julian Dix. Yeah.
I think. Well, I said before I think Kante,
Kante.
A name which just sprung to mind is Alexis Sanchez. I think he's been in very good form all season for Arsenal, but he's also good defensively at winning the ball back. Overall, I think Kante, though. Kante's my pick.
Okay. So I think we'll finish it there. So, check out.
Can you imagine a midfield three of Mascherano, Whelan, and Kante?
That's quite a good balance, to be fair to it.
Whelan in the middle for main man.
Alright, so check out our website at v2football.com, where you can check out our other shows. So, what happened on the 72 show this week, Anthony?
Richard, I don't know if you're aware of this actually. Before the FA Cup third round, there's a few rounds before it.
Because Mac Town were the giant killers of the round.
Yeah, they were the only side outside of the Football League to beat a Football League side, a 72 club side. So, yeah, they got a good win.
Mac Town are better than your 72 club stuff.
Yeah, so we reviewed the FA Cup. We were joined by Gary Alexander, the Greenwich Borough manager. A very interesting chat. Nick had a chat with him, an interview with him. We talked about his playing career, that famous goal he scored for Millwall, and yeah, what he's doing now at Greenwich. They have quite an interesting chat about the budget there, because that's they've been accused of having a massive budget, and the record gets set straight. But yeah, most of the show was talking about the first round of the FA Cup. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank was sacked as QPR boss as well. We debated whether that was the right decision or not. And Nick would kill me if I don't mention it, but Sidwell scored an incredible goal from 50 yards with his weaker foot lobbing it over the goalkeeper. So, yeah, that we talked about all that. It's well worth a listen.
And Mac have got Oxford next round.
Yeah, we discussed the draw as well. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Oxford, I think of all the clubs that have ever been along to Macclesfield, they were the rowdiest, like, just causing trouble. Thought of Oxford as that, would you?
Alright, so you can always also follow us on Twitter at V2Football and like us on Facebook. Good night.
Good night for president.